Welcome to the Peavine Podcast, where each week we bring you the message from our Sunday morning worship service with Pastor Joel Sutherland. We take timeless biblical truth and help you to apply it in the context of your daily life. If you'd like to join us live at one of our campuses or stream one of our services online, go to peavine.org for times, locations, and more information.
Thank you, Pastor Josh. I know all the worship teams did a great job. Revelation chapter 20, when we all get to heaven. I want to talk about that today. I'm starting a sermon series called The Promise. He said he'll do it. We're going to look at, when we think about the promises of God, we think about what we'd call the sweet, precious promises of God. Well, we're going to look at some of those, but there are also some other promises made in the Bible. And I'm going to start at the end. I'm going to look at the final promise made by God. And I want to talk about it today, and we'll work our way backwards to the birth of Jesus right before Christmas. Can I encourage you today, don't be on your phone, don't be on your iPad, don't make any noise. You probably don't need to take a note. If you want to take notes, you can do that. This afternoon, go back and listen to it again and do it. I really want you to zero in on this sermon. I want to say this, if you're here today and you'd like to join our church, you'd like to come for baptism, at the end of this sermon, I'm going to give an invitation. There'll be pastors all lined up. Just walk down the aisle, take a pastor by the hand, say, I want to join the church. I want to be baptized. They'll walk you through that. We're not going to embarrass you at all. And that connection card you filled out, make it easier if you just filled out and bring it down to us. If you don't have it, don't worry about it. If you don't have it all filled out or forget it, don't turn around. Just come down for that. If you're here today, don't know Jesus as Savior, same thing. Our pastors will be here. We'd love to pray with you. Hey, can you do me a favor? Well, everybody in the room, whatever room you're in, Dalton, Rossville, or Rock Spring. I know online you can't do it. You might do this on a, you might send it as an email if you're online. Do me a favor. Would you put that connection card in your hand real quickly? Just grab it up wherever it is. Get it in your hand. Get you a pen, pencil, lipstick, mascara, whatever you can write with, and get it in your hand. Be looking at that card. I want you to do something for me. We have a prayer team that comes in every Wednesday and prays over all of your requests, as well as our pastors do that as well throughout the week. And but I want you to do something for me on there today. Hey, we're trying to reach Peavine City with the gospel. And look, it may not even be anybody that lives in Peavine City. I get that. We'll pray for them anyway. But would you take that card, and down at the bottom where it has prayer request, would you write in the name of someone you know that is lost, far from God, out of church, maybe a family, and you just want to jot their name in, have that prayer team. Every one of us knows somebody like that. Lost, far from God, out of church. Write that name, that family name down. Now, tell us what we're praying for. Don't just write down Bob. I need you to write down Bob, lost, far from God, unsure, out of church. Just write that down, and our prayer team will pray over that this coming Wednesday. And just hold on to that card. We're going to use it later on in the service. I want to preach on this today, the final promise. Here's the idea I'm trying to get across. Look at me. Look at me. You will spend eternity somewhere. You, everybody in this room, everybody in every room, everybody at Dalton, Rossville, watching online, who's watching this sermon days, weeks, or months from now, you will spend eternity. Our minds cannot fathom it, but you will spend eternity somewhere. So I want you to understand that today. I want you to figure out where you're going, and I'm going to try my best to unpack that for you in the simplest terms possible. It was just a few weeks ago, some people got a scare, thought eternity was around the corner. A guy named Joshua Michaela claimed in a YouTube video that Jesus told him the rapture would happen September 23rd and 24th. By the way, do you know the Bible predicts this? The Bible predicts people are going to start saying, oh, he's over there, he's over here, he's coming then. None of them are ever going to be right. But his claim sparked millions of views on TikTok, YouTube, and other platforms. Videos show people who were both sincere, who were making fun of it, and had some believers in tears. Matter of fact, hashtag rapture talk became the trending hashtag of the week. Google searches for rapture outpaced searches for Taylor Swift on September 22nd, which is hard to do. Some clips offered tips and spiritual reflections on what to do if the rapture occurred. And I got a couple of those to share with you today. For example, I think this guy's just a little confused.
The rapture was today, and I didn't get picked. And neither did you if you're watching this, unless they have social media in heaven now, in which case, somebody tell Michael J. Fox I said hello. Tell him Karate Kid changed my life. And I don't even know anybody that got raptured, which is pretty disappointing. I knew it wasn't going to be me. I mean, I packed a bag just in case, but I thought maybe somebody in my inner circle was going to get chosen. It kind of makes you stop and reevaluate who you're spending your time with. But at this point, I think the best we can do is try to get into round two, because the first group, that's the best group. But then group two is people that hand their money out their car window to people with cardboard signs at the stoplights. And then group three, I think, is the people that put their shopping carts away every single time, even if it's raining. And there's a pretty steep drop off after that. And a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people haven't read Leviticus. Don't feel bad. It's hard to get through. But I tried to be group two, but I don't carry cash. So I'm group three. But I'll get there. It'll just take a little bit longer. So everybody who's left, just try to level up and aim higher and just do a little bit better and see if we can get into the next one. So I hope this helps.
I'm just going to tell you right now, his theology is off a little bit, right? I get, if you've never read Leviticus, like he said, you might be confused. So that's kind of a satirical view on it. And then my oldest daughter, Savannah, got a text from a friend of hers, and she gave me permission to say all that I've redacted names and that kind of thing, where his mom sent him this text. Now, you can't read this, but I need it up here so I can read it. This is the actual text, unedited. This is a screenshot of the text. Mom said to the son, "Now, a few housekeeping things for anyone who might need to know. We're going to leave the storm door unlocked so anyone could enter our house using the code blank, 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 blank. I hope, like little children, he will take our doggies with us if we go. But if not, they could be left alone." Notice she said dogs, no cats. That's not a possibility at all in heaven. "In my closet, if you will search, there are two fire safes. The black one has about $1,400 cash in it, and the lighter colored one has important papers, one of which is a $100,000 life insurance policy on me that is good until I'm 75. But in the event of mass disappearances, quotation marks, the companies will probably not pay out, but I want you to know it's in there. We still have a mortgage on this house and owe about $43,000, but there should be at least $200,000 of cash equity in it and probably a little more. I'm going to pay bills tomorrow morning, so the mortgage will be paid through October. If it does happen, there'll be a lot of chaos, and I don't know if you'll be able to sell a house, but I wanted y'all to know something about that in case anyone is still here should this event happen. Again, I won't be embarrassed or even disappointed if it does not happen." This lady took this real seriously, and the thing that cracks me up the most is she was sure her son was not going in the rapture. Sorry, babe. She said, "I hope the dog goes," but she didn't say, "I hope you go." No, his had to get into our house. I mean, some of you, if you had known shopping carts were part of the equation, you would have taken the time to put it up, wouldn't you? But here's the deal. If you know the end, it makes decisions today that much easier. So if I know what the end of the story is, right? If I know what's going to happen in the end, then whatever decisions I have to make today, right? Today, whatever decisions I have to make today, if I know what's happening in the end, then today decisions become a lot easier in my life. And I want to show you this morning that we know what happens in the end. In the book of Revelation, we're going to read in a moment, it was written to the seven churches in Asia. Some were being persecuted, some were being killed, some were facing false teaching, corruption. Some were just spiritually apathetic, but they all had one thing in common. And John the Revelator, when Jesus gave him this book, John writes all these things in the first 20 chapters, and then in chapter 20 and 21, he just kind of ends it with, "Hey, but here's where we're all headed." Now, I don't know your story today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what you will go through later in life, but I know this. You are headed toward eternity. You are going straight to Revelation chapter 20 or Revelation 21. And I know we all want our best life now, right? Like, what was that preacher? Joel Osteen. Well, I know we all want our best life now. We all do. But we need to be living our best life for then. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're aiming for your best life now, you're going to wind up in the wrong place in eternity. No, we're living for our best life then. And people chase. The problem is we People chase a life that won't last. We're going after wealth, success, temporary safety instead of eternity. Hey, the Bible's never against wealth. The Bible's never against prosperity. The Bible's never against safety. It's never against success. It's not against any of those things. It is against, read the book of Proverbs. God's all about it. But he's against those things when those things are done in spite of eternity. In other words, when I would rather have success in this life over success in eternity, when I would rather have wealth in this life over wealth in eternity, that's when it becomes a problem. And fear, unbelief, apathy keeps us from surrendering to Christ and living for eternity. And here's what I think. Look this way. Here's what I think. Deep down, everyone knows they ought to live for forever. I think it is placed in our hearts by God that we know we're going to live forever, that we know we ought to live for forever. But most of us settle for the now. The problem is Satan, right? Satan has this whole system of lies that uses fear, uses comfort, uses unbelief to pull people away from Christ. And listen, if you ignore the Bible, if you listen to the lies of the devil, your soul will forfeit heaven. You will suffer forever, and the years on earth will mean absolutely nothing. It will mean absolutely nothing. Because here's what I think. I think that this life is the womb of eternity. This life is, see, we think this life is the most important life, but it's not. This life is just the womb of eternity, and one day we'll be birthed into eternity. Can you imagine a baby who's in his mama's womb looking around saying, I think I'm going to decorate in here. We'll hang some photos. I mean, it's the only life there is. I believe I'm gonna do some stuff in here because life, I want to give myself the best life now. You say, well, that's silly, but that's what we do. And some of you here this morning, you laugh at rapture talk, but late at night, you wonder what would happen if Jesus really did come back and where you would be. I've sat with a lot of people in my ministry. I've held people's hands as they've died. And I've watched them die, especially a believer, watched them die. When all of a sudden the only thought on their mind was eternity. All of a sudden I've seen believers all of a sudden quit talking about people on this earth and could only see people in the next. And it tells you what's really important in life. See, God is not asking us, do you want to live forever? God is not asking if you will live forever. God has already decreed that you will live forever. And the only question is where? Listen, make no mistake, the same God who writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life is the same God who'll cast unbelievers into the lake of fire for all of eternity. Both of those are a promise from God. So stand with me. I want to walk you through what God's going to say in Revelation chapter 20, last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to read the end of chapter 20 and the beginning of chapter 21. It's on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. Look in Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse number 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence. No place was found for them. I also saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each one was judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Then verse 21, the scene changes. Chapter 21, the scene changes. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death, it will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he'll be my son. But the cowards, the faithless, the detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Thank you. You may be seated. So I'm going to walk you through this passage and show you what God says about this promise. You will spend eternity somewhere. And in chapter 20, at the end of chapter 20, in the beginning of chapter 21, he lays out two options. Let me walk you through option one and option two. Option one, John calls the lake of fire. The Bible says that John looks up and sees a great white throne. White, because it is holy. Great, because no one can stand against it. The Bible tells us the very sky and earth run from the presence because nothing corrupted can stand before him. We call this, in Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment. And the only people that will be at the great white throne judgment are those who do not know Jesus as their Savior. The Bible says the earth and the sky flee before his presence. And listen, you say, why is that important? Here's why that's important. Because if you're lost here today, all of us at one time have thought this, that we'll stand before a holy God and we'll start to give our litany of excuses for why we didn't get saved. Well, I didn't have this opportunity. Or, well, I was too scared. Or my mama, or my daddy, or my husband, or my wife, or my parents, or my kids, something along the line. We've got this built-in excuse maker that we think when we stand before God, we'll sit there and give our excuses and he'll listen to us. Listen to me, that is not what's going to happen. If the sky and the earth flee before the presence of he who sits on the great white throne, you will be bowed in abject fear, wishing you could get away from the presence and the gaze and the look of a holy God. It'll be like Daniel's vision in the book of Daniel, the Ancient of Days, ready to render his verdict. The Bible tells us that every dead soul stands there, great and small, kings and beggars, princes and plumbers and presidents. No titles, no power, no excuses. And the Bible says the books are opened. There's two tomes in heaven. There's the books and there is the book of life. And the Bible says the sea gives up the dead. Death and Hades calls up their dead. There are no hiding places. Every grave, every depth, every soul summoned by the voice of God. Every now and then as a pastor, I have people say, well, is it wrong to get cremated? I'm worried God won't find my ashes. Hey, God's gonna find you. You'll be resurrected. The sea giving up the dead. In other words, this is the end of the line. For all evil, all corruption, all immorality, this is the end of line. The Bible says you will be judged according to the books. Now, we don't exactly know what this is, but we have a pretty good idea. Here's what I believe and what others believe. I think we're judged according to the books, plural. What are those books? I think it's two. I think you'll be judged according to the Word of God and what's found in these pages. In other words, this is the standard God expected you to live by. So this book is part of the books. What's the other books? The other books are the books of your works, according to the scripture. That's pretty plain and obvious. So God's going to take your life. You say, preacher, will it be a video screen? Have no idea. Preacher, will it be written down by an angel? Have no idea. Matter of fact, I think you're going to remember everything you did wrong, every sin you committed, every wrong thing that's unpaid for by the blood of Jesus. God's going to take that deed that you did, that thing. Remember, the Bible says we'll give an account for every idle word we've ever said. And God will compare it to how he told us we ought to live. This book. Those books will be our judge. The books of our works and the words of God will be our judge. And listen, there's no hope for you at this point. You say, well, maybe I'll measure up pretty good. No, the Bible's already told us, see, there's none that does good. No, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you say, well, I've not sinned much. Hey, doesn't matter how much you sin. Remember, Adam and Eve ate a piece of fruit and it got them kicked out of the Garden of Eden and banned from a relationship with God until God had offered a sacrifice. It doesn't matter. Listen, the average Baptist member, when they do a poll in Baptist churches, 50% of people in a Baptist pew think that good works plays a part in you getting heaven. Listen to me. If you're depending on your good works to get you into heaven, you are lost and on your way to hell. Good works get you nowhere. God's going to compare all the works of your life, every day of your life, to this book. And at the end, you're going to be found wanting. Now, why is he doing that? Most commentators believe judgment is according to works, is not to earn your salvation, but to measure your accountability. Greater light brings greater responsibility and a heavier sentence for rebellion. And so I believe that I'll say in a moment about heaven, everybody's not equal in heaven and everybody's not equal in hell. There'll be degrees of punishment in heaven in all probabilities. One of the purposes of this judgment. But either way, the lightest judgment in hell is a million times million times million worse than the worst punishment you could imagine on earth. So you're judged by the books, the Word of God, and the books of your life. You're found wanting. And God said, well, there's one other option, and that is your name must be written in the book of life. The book of life is the registry of the redeemed. Name secured before the foundation of the world. Your eternity rests on whether your name is written in that book. But listen, if you are at the great white throne judgment, your name is not written in the book of life. That's not the role of the perfect people. That's not the role of those who did everything right. That is those who've trusted Jesus as their Savior, and their name has been written down in the blood of the Lamb. You're judged according to the books. You're found wanting. God looks for your name in the book of life. It's not in there. And then it happens, the Bible said, death in Hades, that is the temporary holding of the dead. If you die today and go to hell, it's not this hell. If you die today and go to heaven, it's not this heaven. If you're on my Patreon, I'm going to explain all that tomorrow on a Patreon. But death in Hades, death in hell, death in the grave, are hurled into the lake of fire. The enemy is destroyed. The grave and sin are done forever in the lake that burns. The Bible calls it the second death. It is the final separation from God with no road back. And anyone not found in the book of life is thrown in. Satan is in there. The beast is in there. The false prophet. Death is in there. Sin is in there. And you're in there. The lake of fire. Where's the lake of fire? I don't know. I did a little research, and if you take the volume of the sun, did you know 1.3 million Earths could fit inside our sun? Which means the number of people that could fit inside the sun would be a number incomprehensible to us. Some people think the lake of fire could be the sun or a sun. Some people think the lake of fire could be the core of the earth. The core of the earth is about the size of the moon. And by volume, billions and billions and billions of people could fit in the core of the earth, which is molten metal. The sun is molten hot. Either one of those could fit the description that hell gives, the Bible gives, of the lake of fire. But it's over. Option one for eternity is eternity. You say, well, preacher, is it really fire there? The word fire in the Greek is the word pyre, P-Y-R. It's where we get our word pyromania from, pyrotechnics from. It is used, I think, 71 times in the New Testament. Every time it's used, it means literal fire. So there are some pastors that come along that are uncomfortable with the concept of hell. I'll be honest, I don't like the concept of hell, but the Bible makes no mistake. If you want to call hell something other than a lake of fire, you're just making it up because it gives no indication of that anywhere else. It is a lake of fire. Why does it have to be a lake of fire? Why does it have to be for eternity? Listen to me. Because did you know you're made for eternity? Adam and Eve were made for eternity. Every life that God makes is made for eternity. Angels, the demons that the angels that fell that are now demons will spend eternity in a lake of fire. Satan will spend eternity in a lake of fire. Humans without Jesus will spend eternity in a lake of fire. Why? Your soul is made for eternity. It cannot go extinct. It cannot just die. It must spend eternity somewhere. And the lake of fire is you being in eternity away from God, separated from God, forever paying for your sin that Jesus died on the cross to pay for, but you rejected. So option one is eternity in the lake of fire. Option two, beginning in Revelation 21, is the new Jerusalem. John said, I saw a new heaven, a new earth. The old one's gone. This is the high point. This is the climax of everything God has promised. Heaven's not a side thought. Do you know heaven is talked about 500 times in the Bible and over 50 times in the book of Revelation? Why? God keeps pointing our eyes up. Listen, child of God, God always wants us looking up. We're citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of earth. God always wants you concerned about the next life. And look, this heaven that we're going to is not the waiting room you go to today. This is the final home, the final city, the eternal city. This is the final dwelling place of God redeemed. And God sees, John sees the new Jerusalem, which doesn't look like a modern city. It's a perfect city, holy city, built by God. It's the one he talked about in John 14. Remember, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. What is he talking about? I go to prepare. He's talking about Revelation 21. For 2,000 years, Jesus has been building this new Jerusalem. And she's coming down, dropping down out of the sky, shining pure, spotless, like a bride walking down the aisle on her wedding day. And she belongs to the Lamb. He's built it for our reward, for our joy. And a loud voice breaks out that said, God is moving in. He's not visiting. God's not passing through. He's not politicking. He's pitching his tent with his people and saying, I am living here forever. And then we hear a shout that no man can get over. And the shout says, can I tell y'all something? Where you are will be no more tears, no more death, no more grief, no more crying, no more pain, no more hospitals, no more funeral homes. Everything sin broke, everything sin stole is gone for good. Why did God say that in Revelation 21:4, that he'd wipe away all of our tears? Because I think the great white throne judgment is going to be so traumatic for those of us who are believers. As we see loved ones thrown into the lake of fire for eternity, friends, family, co-workers, neighbors thrown into the lake of fire. That's why I had you write down somebody's name. Thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. Without a supernatural act of God, we'd spend eternity in grief. And the Bible said God will wipe those tears away. By the way, I think we'll be as broken over strangers. It's such an awful place. The one on the throne thunders, I'm making everything new. The old world's gone. The cursed, broken. The world remade. All of it brand new in Christ. And he says it's done. It's wrapped up. God's plan complete. Evil destroyed. Eternity is here. But not everybody gets in. Would you look in your Bible again? It's an odd verse. Revelation 21, verse 8. God ends this passage on heaven, telling us who will not get into heaven. Revelation 21, 8. But the cowards, the faithless, the detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, maybe that means drug addicts, it meant both a lot of times, idolaters and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Why is that there? And I think for those listening to me this morning, most of you are not sexually immoral. You're not a drug user. You're not an idolater. You're not a serial killer. Why? Because look at the first two words, which seem so out of place. Cowards and faithless. What are cowards and faithless? Cowards are those that didn't want to walk down an aisle to get saved. Cowards are those that couldn't say goodbye to their friends to say hello to Jesus. Faithless are those that said, I'll work my way to heaven instead of just putting my faith in Jesus Christ. Option one, option two, lake of fire for all of eternity. The new Jerusalem for all of eternity. God promises you will spend eternity somewhere. There is no in between. There's no place for the kind of good people who didn't get saved. No, there are those who are going to hell for all eternity, those who are going to heaven for all eternity, and there the twain shall meet again. They are gone forever to your final destination. So what does that tell me this morning? Let me say it to you quickly. Number one, you've got to live with the end in mind. Every decision you make is a step toward forever. So step in the direction you want to end up. Listen, you don't get your best life now. You get your best life then. Quit trying to get such a, in my opinion, demonic book, getting your best life now. No, I want a good life now. I want a good life with my wife and a good life with my kids and my grandkids and my church. I want a good life now. But that does not stop me, nor should it take precedent over me aiming for eternity. And if you're going to get your mind right, you've got to live with the end in mind. Knowing every one of us in this room, we're going to wind up at the great white throne judgment. And if we're not saved, we'll be cast into a devil's hell. And those of us who are saved, we're going to be at the Bema seat of Christ for our judgment. And God expects us to live with the end in mind right now. So quit making decisions as if this is the only life there is. It's not. Number two, the second thing I tell you is get your name in the book of life. One day that book will be opened, and if your name isn't in there, your eternity is the lake of fire. Don't gamble with forever. The fire and sulfur that burns forever, unless your name is written down in the book of life. Listen, good works won't get your name written down. Church membership will not get your name written down. Coming to church twice a month will not get your name written down. The only way your name gets written down is for you to put your faith and trust and all of your faith and all of your trust and all of your hope in Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. If you're here today and don't know Jesus, get your name in the book of life. Listen, number three, if you're a Christian, you lay your life down for heaven. If eternity is real, your time, your money, your family, your future, it all belongs to God. And whatever you're holding back today, there's some of you here holding back from God. You're holding back. Maybe God's called you to ministry and you're holding back on that. You know you ought to be tithing and you're holding back on that. No, here's what God has said, that you are to lay your life down for heaven. That means I ought to be more concerned with treasures in heaven than I am treasures on earth. Again, nothing wrong. God never condemns treasures on earth. He condemns treasures in earth taking precedent over treasures in heaven. Lay your life down for eternity. If heaven is real, your time, your money, your family, your future, you just name it. It all belongs to God. And one day you'll give an account for every single thing. You ignore me, you're going to live with false security. And you're going to think, well, I'm 75% sure. There's a reason I ask people if they're 100% sure they're saved. Because 75% sure is not saved. 99% sure is not saved. You'll live with false security. And you'll say, well, I joined the church, or I walked down an aisle, or I did this, or I did that, and you'll die and go to the lake of fire. You'll have eternal regret at judgment time, and you'll miss your only chance. Today could be your last chance. But you make the right decision, you know what you get? Sleep. Why did I put that down? Because I was a lost church member, and when God convicted my soul, I lost all sleep at night. I was saved about 3 a.m. on December 24th, 23rd night, 24th morning, because God was so convicting my heart, I'd lost sleep for a week. There's beautiful rest in knowing your eternal destiny is heaven. You get a sense of purpose in this life, and best of all, you get heaven for eternity. You will spend eternity somewhere. Eternity is certain, so live ready. Close your Bibles with me. I just want to say this quickly. I looked up retirement the other day. The average baby boomer has about $250,000 in their 401k. Gen Xer has about $190,000. Millennials have about $67,000. Gen Zers have $13,000. Of course, they got a long ways to go. But look at this. More than half of U.S. households report having no dedicated retirement savings at all. Half of U.S. adult households have zero in retirement savings. Adults 50 or over, 20% have no, one out of five have no retirement savings whatsoever. Y'all old people better get busy, y'all. It's coming around the corner. Why'd I tell you that? Because we're not even good at getting ready for life after work. I'm not talking about getting ready for life after work today. I'm talking about getting ready for life after death. Don't worry about the finish line of this life. This is just the womb of eternity. Worry about the finish line that leads you into the next life. Don't worry about retirement. Worry about rapture. Do you know for sure? Stand with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed.
Pastor Joel, for that message. And truly, today's message is all about the gospel. And it's all about you making for sure that you know 100% without a doubt that heaven is your home and that you've got a relationship with Jesus here on this earth. If you were to be asked on a scale of 1 to 100, what percentage are you sure that you would go to heaven? If you can't answer 100%, then you need to make sure today that heaven's your home and Jesus is the Savior and the Lord of your life. You do that by being willing to admit that you're a sinner. Scripture tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You've got to be willing to admit that. And because we've sinned, our sin has separated us from God. There's only one thing, and we have to understand this, that can close the gap created by our sin, and that is the cross of Christ. We've got to believe that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. And then Romans chapter 10 says, we believe that in our heart, and we confess it with our mouth, and we'll be saved. And if today God has spoken to your heart, and you want to make 100% sure that you're going to heaven when you die, in this moment, tell God this: Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sin. I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to pay the price for my sin. And Lord, right now, I ask you to come into my heart through the power of your Holy Spirit. Be my Savior. Lord, I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Hey, if you prayed that prayer this morning, there is a celebration in heaven. Scripture tells us that. And we want to celebrate with you too. And so click on the link we've just dropped in the chat box. It says, I commit my life to Christ. We're going to ask you a couple of questions, and then I'm going to reach out to you this week to help you take next steps on your faith journey with Jesus. I've enjoyed worshiping with you this morning. I can't wait to see you next week.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message this week as we help equip you to apply God's Word to your daily life. For the latest updates about what's happening around Peavine City, be sure to connect with us on social media. For more information about Peavine, to get in touch with us, or check out one of our services, visit us at peavine.org. Thanks for listening.